I'm going to start with a story about a tightrope walker. There was this tightrope walker who did incredible aerial feats. All over Paris, he would do tightrope acts at tremendous, scary heights. Not something that I would do. No siree. I'm not big into heights, right? But this guy loved it. He would even go to new levels. He would find himself getting bored with the same old, so he started out putting blindfolds over his eyes and walking across these tightropes. And then, blindfolded, he would start pushing wheelbarrows, and it just went from crazy to crazier. Well, an American promoter read about this in the newspaper. He wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying, "Mr. Tightrope," that's going to be his name, "Mr. Tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." Now, Mr. Tightrope wrote back and said, "Sir, although I've never been to America, I've never seen the falls, I'd love to come." Well, after a lot of promotion and setting up the whole event, many people came to see if this could really happen. So Mr. Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and come to the American side. The drums began to roll, and he comes across on the rope, suspended over the treacherous falls, and he's blindfolded. Mr. Tightrope makes it across easily. The crowds go wild. Woo! They're so excited, right? He made it. And he says, "Well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it?" And the promoter says, "Well, of course I do." Now he says, "Look, do you believe I can do it?" The promoter says, "I just saw you do it. Of course you can do it." But the tightrope walker looked once again at the promoter and said, "No, really. Do you really think? Do you really know that I can do it?" "Yes," said the promoter, "I believe you can do it." "Good," said Mr. Tightrope, "then you get in the wheelbarrow." The word "believe" in the Greek means to live by. To live by. And maybe this story about the tightrope walker will compel us to ask how often we say that we believe Jesus can do it, but we just don't get in the wheelbarrow. Maybe the story reminds us that we really want to trust the Lord with our everything, but we still struggle to jump in, to let go of our fears, to let go of our safety, of our comfort, of our plans, and just jump in and go all in with God. I believe the Lord is calling us to a study of Hebrews chapter 11. So that we can be those Christ followers who live fearlessly and without regret. You know, last week the Lord gave us a very special word about living outside the bubble. It can be scary to live outside the bubble. It takes faith to live outside the bubble. We have to trust Jesus if we're going to be those people who are really going to be the witnesses that we're called to be by Christ and truly impact our society and bring the kingdom of God. We've got to have faith. We've got to believe. And our faith has to be in the right place, in Jesus. God's Word declares in Hebrews 11:6, says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." Which means we can't stay outside the wheelbarrow. We got to get in. We got to get in. Let's say it together. We got to get in. We have to. Martin Luther once stated, he said, "God our Father has made all things depend on faith. So that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing." I want all that God has for me. I don't know about you. I want all that God has for us as a church family. And so we're going to press into this thing called faith so that we can actually walk this out and not miss the boat. Y'all ready to get on the tightrope? You ready to do it? You want to get involved in some crazy stuff? Live outside the bubble? Do things God's way, but not only do things God's way, but do things with God, do God-sized things. Are you ready to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Then what we're going to do is we're going to start a new series this morning, and it's titled By Faith. Pretty simple. By faith. I got that from the Bible. By faith. We're going to spend the next couple months exploring Hebrews chapter 11, allowing God's Word to paint the powerful picture of what it looks like to truly live by faith. What does it really look like? A lot of people wonder, what is faith? And where do we get faith? And how do we live by faith? And how do we be people of faith? Well, God's Word very clearly shows us and tells us and describes to us what it means to be people of faith. So we're going to go to God's Word. We're going to get what He's going to say about this. We're going to grab hold of it. We're going to walk in it. And we're going to get to see some pretty incredible things as the people of God. Let's get on the tightrope. Hebrews 11. Open up your Bibles. Beginning in verse 1. It's a very good place to start. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. There's something about creation right there. Anyway, the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. All right, I want to make sure that we get grounded in the context here, because context is always extremely important. Here's the background. Hebrews 11 is a continuation of Hebrews 10. Whoa, that's some deep truth. It is. I mean, Hebrews is just one big letter. We've chopped it up so that we can better understand it and study it and talk to one another about it. But Hebrews 11 is a continuation of Hebrews chapter 10, which calls us in Hebrews 10 to believe in the promises of God instead of giving up. We had a word about that this morning. Believe in the promises of God instead of giving up. Check it out. Hebrews 10. I'm going to back up a little bit. Hebrews 10, verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It's a good word. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, what? You will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shirks back, I will not be pleased with him. But, that's not us, right? But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are what? Are saved. That's who we are. I want to say sometimes you need to speak that out and remind yourself. We have to remind ourselves of who we are. That we are not those who shrink back. We are not those who doubt God. But we are those who believe and receive and walk into all that God has created us to be and to do as His people, as His church. So notice this, though, in the passages that we just read. Faith involves confidence. It involves perseverance and belief. Confidence, perseverance, and belief. But these are all anchored in what? In the promises of God. Our confidence, our perseverance, and our belief are anchored in the promises of God. Point number one of this introductory sermon is faith relies on God's promises. In other words, we can take God's promises to the bank. We can get in the wheelbarrow because His promises are true. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 18. But surely, that's a good word, but surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So do we know God's promises? Do you know all the promises that God has spoken over you, over his people, over the church? Are we filling our minds? Are we filling our thoughts, our dreams with his promises? Because it sounds like his promises are pretty important, and his promises are yes, not maybe, but yes. And it sounds like our faith, our confidence, our perseverance, our belief is tied to our understanding and our confidence in what? The promises of God. So are we spending our time making sure that his promises are front and center on our minds and in our hearts, knowing, meditating, and even opening up our mouths and declaring the promises of God into and over our lives? Is that part of our life? Is that a practice? Do we get into God's Word and do we soak in his promises? I believe the Lord is encouraging us to do that as he's encouraging us to walk by faith, to start with his promises. Isn't that a great place to start? Not with what you have to do, but what he has already promised that he has done and is doing. That's where faith starts. So faith relies on God's promises. Let's go right to point number two. Faith trusts in God's power. It relies on God's promises, and faith trusts in God's power. Back to Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. That's some serious power right there, forming the universe. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And so faith understands that it was God's power, his command, that has made all things. He spoke and the universe was created. God placed the stars in the sky. He called light out of darkness. And he fearfully and wonderfully knit us together by his sovereign hand. This is the power of God at work. And if we're going to be those who walk by faith, we have to understand his promises and that he is the all-powerful one. God is. Not our circumstances. Not our neighbor. Not our government. Not our fear. But God is the all-powerful one. I like what the faith-filled missionary George Mueller says about this. Mueller says that faith does not operate in the realm of possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Rather, faith begins where man's power ends. Faith begins where man's power ends. Why? Because faith trusts in God's power and in his power alone. God's promises and God's power. I want to tell a story that I read this week about Mueller that kind of lets us understand that Mueller understood the power of God, that Mueller walked by faith because he understood that God is more powerful than even the weather. And maybe that's something we need to be reminded of even right now as we're thinking of loved ones around the United States and the world that are dealing with some really tough weather right now. Here's the story I read this week. So Mueller set off for the United States in August of 1877 aboard a ship called the Sardinian. They were off the coast of Newfoundland where the weather turned very cold. The ship's progress was seriously slowed by fog. See, the captain had been on the bridge for 24 hours, but then something really supernatural happened, something that would forever change his life. This guy named George Mueller appeared on the bridge. Here's what happened. Mueller said, "Captain, I've come to tell you I must be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon." And the captain replied and told Mueller, "It's impossible. It's not going to happen." "Very well," said Mueller. "If this ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I've never broken an engagement in 52 years. So let us go down to the chart room and let's pray." And so that's what they did. While they were walking down, the captain was wondering what kind of lunatic asylum this guy got out of, thinking that going down the chart room and saying a quick prayer is going to change things. "Mr. Mueller," the captain said, "do you realize how dense this fog is?" "No," he replied. "My eye is not on the density of the fog, rather on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." You see, what happened then is Mueller knelt down and he prayed. And when he had finished, the captain was about to pray, but Mueller put his hand on the captain's shoulder and told him not to do that. Try that one on next time you're in a prayer meeting. See, first of all, he said to the captain, "Look, captain, you don't believe that he will do this. So don't pray. And second, I believe he has, and there is no need whatsoever for you to pray about it." And so the captain looked at Mueller in amazement. "Captain," he continued, "I've known my Lord for 52 years, and there's never been a single day that I failed to get an audience with the king. So get up and open the door, and you're going to find that the fog has lifted. It's gone." The captain walked across, he opened the door, and the fog had lifted. It was gone. At an instant, Jim Cianci came. He could barely walk. He was almost crying. Sorry to tell him that, Jim, but you were almost crying this morning. And he was healed in an instant. It's one of those suddenlies God does. The fog lifted instantaneously. And look, here's the deal. It was actually this captain who later on in life told the story of this incident to others. And this captain was then described by somebody else as one of the most devoted men I've ever known. Look what happened. Look at how this man's life changed. The captain's life completely changed because he witnessed another man, Mueller, walking by faith, trusting in the power of God, and he witnessed what prayer, the prayer of the faithful, can do. It can even cause the weather to change. That's what's available to us. This is the kind of faith. This is the kind of power that our faith is in. Not in the circumstances of life, the weather of life, the fog of life, but in the Creator of all things, God Himself, by faith. Faith is a settled confidence that God is able, that God is in control, and that nothing is too difficult for Him. Nothing. Faith trusts in the power of God. And number three, faith is not blind. So faith relies on God's promises, faith trusts in God's power, and faith is not blind. Again, Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Doesn't that mean faith is blind? Wait, now, hang on. Let's look a little deeper. Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Faith is not blind. Faith is found in Christ. The word of Christ, who He is. Our faith is rooted in truth, in hearing the truth of the gospel of Christ. It's hearing the truth because we are then sure of the one we hope for and certain of the one we do not see today. But we know this, that we will see Him soon, as Scripture has already told us. Our faith is not blind. Our faith is firmly affixed in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who was and is to come. The one who stepped down from heaven and put on flesh and walked on this earth as a man, healing the sick, raising the dead, going to the cross, Himself being resurrected, ascending once again to be at the right hand of the Father, sending the Holy Spirit to be with us. And He has declared, He has promised, faith relies on God's promises, He is coming back. Our faith is not blind. Our faith is in the one who is returning? Jesus. Let's remember the context. Remember we went back to Hebrews 10, verse 37. Said this, "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." He's coming back. The message is Jesus, and he is returning. Our faith is not blind. It's not misplaced. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is truth, and this is what we act on, because our faith is not blind. It's not blind. Jesus came into the world, and he saved us, and he's coming back. Our faith is in him, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. Jesus, we know this, we're certain of it. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our deep desire. Jesus is our great expectation. And so we live, we take action, we get in the wheelbarrow, and we live by faith, because we know the one, Jesus. Our faith is not blind. On December 17th, 1903, back in the day again, there were these two brothers, Orville and Wilbur Wright. They made history. Their motorized vehicle defied the law of gravity, and it flew through the air. The idea wasn't new. Years before the Wright brothers got off the ground at Kitty Hawk, mathematicians and scientists had proven that flight was possible. But many people who read the facts couldn't believe that flying would actually ever become a reality. But the Wright brothers believed the facts, and they built the first flying machine. When their vehicle flew, they demonstrated that you have to believe the facts and act on them to be successful. It's the same thing with faith, isn't it? They believed when others doubted. It's that way with us. We have the facts. We have the truth. And we know the one in whom our faith is firmly planted. But we need to act upon that truth. We need to act upon this reality that we know the promises of God are true. We know that he is powerful. We know who he is. And so we act. We live out of that reality. And because we do that, we are those who actually take flight. We defy the limitations placed on us by this broken world and by conventional wisdom. And instead, we live as free citizens of God's eternal kingdom, enjoying his rewards, enjoying his company, his relationship now and forever. And how do we do that? We do it by faith. Because we know, and we take action. I want to encourage all of us in this room. We've all read our Bibles. Most of us in this room have read the Bible, you know, through and through several times. We've read about who God is. We talk about who God is. We go to Bible studies. We go to prayer meetings, and we talk about it, and we talk about it. I want to encourage us that what we're going to discover, we're already discovering, we're going to continue to discover as we look at faith, as we go through Hebrews chapter 11, is that it comes down to, are we actually now living out of this reality? Or are we just living to hear the same message over and over and over again? And are we putting our faith, or believing that our faith is just the fact that we believe the message? Do you hear what I'm saying? I believe it's time for the church to finally go, okay, I got it. I've heard it many, many times. I get it. And I'm going to demonstrate that I actually believe it by stepping out of the walls of the church and going and praying for the sick. By stepping out at my place of employment, and when somebody is having an issue in their life, bringing Jesus into their life. I want to show that I actually believe the promises of God, that He'll never abandon me, that He won't leave me, that He'll give me the words to speak, that the Holy Spirit will guide me and direct me and give me what I need. I'll actually believe what God has told me I have and who I am, that I am His witness, that I am His ambassador, and so I'm going to actually go and open my mouth. And not just go back and read about who I am, but actually go be who I am. This is what we're discovering as we look at faith. Faith is demonstrated in people's lives who actually take the truth and then implement it day by day by day. Not in some fake way, not in some way that's all packaged up that the church says, this is how you have to say it, this is what it needs to look like. No, but by just allowing the Spirit of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, the power of God, the message of Christ that is in us to get out of us in the way that God's designed it to come out of us, to come out of you. A natural way, being who you are. Remember that? Saying what you know, giving what you have. But you got to be who you are. And you got to say what you know to people. And you got to give people what you have. All around you. That's living by faith. That's getting in the wheelbarrow. That's busting outside of our bubble. That's being a witness. That's being a person of faith. We know it. Let's go show it. Let's go show it. Augustine puts it this way. He says, God does not expect us to submit our faith to Him without reason, but the very limits of our reason make faith a necessity. One night a house caught fire. There was a little boy that was trapped inside of this home. He was forced to go up to the roof. This isn't an actual picture of this event. I just found a cute picture of a kid jumping to his dad. You like that? Oh, it's warm fuzzies, right? It looks cool. The house is on fire. He's in the house all alone. The rest of the family's outside. He rushes up to the roof to try to find safety, to get away from the smoke and the fire. He's standing on the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, and he's calling to his son. He says, jump, and I'll catch you, son. He knew that the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. Jump! I will catch you! His father kept yelling, jump! I will catch you. The boy, afraid to leave what he thought was the safety of the roof because he couldn't see what was out there. Jump. But the boy replied, Daddy, I can't see you. Daddy, I can't see you. Jump. I can't see you, Daddy. And the father answered, but I can see you. And that's all that matters. Your heavenly Father can see you. He created you. He knows you. He sees you. He cares for you. And He's calling you to jump into His arms. He's calling you to jump into the wheelbarrow of faith. He's calling you to jump into His promises, to jump into trusting that He is big enough and powerful enough to sustain you, to give you what you need. He sees you. Jump. Because our faith relies on God's promises, because it trusts in God's power, and because it's not blind, because our faith is firmly in Christ, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come, we understand that faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. That's what John Calvin says. Faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. The Lord says, jump, jump, walk by faith, jump. Church, we're going to be spending the next couple of months in Hebrews 11. You excited about this? This is going to be good for us. We're going to get real world examples of faith, looking at real people, not just looking at theory, but we're going to look at real people who actually lived by faith. And I love how God keeps it simple. I need this kind of thing. I need to see, here's a guy, here's what he did, here's what he's commended for. This is what faith looks like, this right here. See what he did? See what he said? That's faith. That's what we're going to do for the next couple of months. We're going to look at the just down and dirty brass tacks, get real faith, by faith. You want to do this, don't you? You ready to do this? You know what it's going to do, though? The Holy Spirit is going to challenge you over the next couple months to actually start acting like these heroes of the faith. Start getting in the wheelbarrow. He's going to challenge you to do that. And that's when the rubber is going to meet the road. That's where you're going to get to finally just wrestle with God and go, okay, God, I'm all in. I'm really going to do this. I really trust you. So I'm excited because this is what we get to do together. The Lord has us doing this together. We talked about that earlier in the service. And so he's going to be pushing us out of the bubble, into the wheelbarrow, up onto the tightrope. He's going to be calling us to take flight. He's going to be saying, jump off the roof. Let's go. Come into my arms. Let's get involved in my kind of life. And we get to do it together, encouraging one another and building each other up. We're in this together. It's going to be exciting. Our town is going to continue to be transformed as a church like this gets this kind of vision and starts walking it out. Our world is going to continue to be impacted for God's glory. Look out, Gilbert. Look out, East Valley. Look out, Arizona. Look out, United States. Look out, world, because the church is ready to walk by faith. You ready? Amen. All right, next week, we're going to be in Hebrews 11, verse 4. You can read ahead. I encourage that. Read that Bible as often as you please. Please do that. We're going to look at the life of Abel next week. Hebrews 11. So here's the appetizer. Hebrews 11, sorry, it's verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. This is where we're going.